podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of God's Mission Here. I'm Pastor Michael Meyer, Managing Director in the Office of National Mission, and with me today is I have the Reverend Dr. Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry in the LCMS. Hey, Mark.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
So just real quick, you're not new to youth ministry.
No.
You're not green behind the ears, wet behind the ears, whatever that cliche is.
Yes.
You've been doing this for quite a while, haven't you?
I have been in the youth ministry office. Was blessed. It's kind of a unique situation. Came to St. Louis to attend Concordia Seminary. And while I was a student, there were some vacancies in the office and started working here during that time. And by God's blessing, turned into a call when I completed my studies at the seminary. So I've been in the office in different roles since 2006 when I completed at the seminary. So it's been a while.
Yeah, no, I'm not real good at math, but that's, you're driving now.
That's right, exactly. I am. It's good. Going through some of those years of transition. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Now, I know that there's been a lot of changes over the years. A lot of things have stayed the same. So today, I'd just kind of like to go through some of the different things that youth ministry does.
Right.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind for me is, you know, when I was a youth in high school, I remember going to kind of different leadership trainings that they provided for high school age youth at the time. Do we still do that kind of thing?
We do. So one of the programs that we manage is called Youth Lead. And so it used to be Lutheran Youth Fellowship. And so that was an organization that was both about bringing leaders together, high school students, to be trained around maybe a specific topic and things. And then oftentimes would have roles maybe within districts where they did trainings as well. We've changed that program a little bit to where the districts still are involved, their LCMS districts sending young people, but we've opened it up to congregations as well. And it's also maybe what we might say vocational training, just talking about what we understand as vocation, the way God works through us and the many roles that he gives us in our lives, and to be encouraged in their walk of faith. And so primarily the function of Youth Lead is still, one thing that hasn't changed is an annual training that we do, usually like in March here in St. Louis. But then we've expanded it to do some regional trainings, as well as like the summer at National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference, there'll be a Youth Lead training. And then more resourcing around it too. It's a great thing about the web is that now we make the resources available to the whole church on Youth eSource. And again, those are video-based trainings that any congregation can use and utilize as well. And so it's great to see young people connect that way, future church workers and other people that serve in many vocations throughout the way. And just the relationships that get developed too through that program is great to see.
Yeah. So one of the things that comes to my mind when I think about leaders and good leaders, especially, I mean, the biblical example we have of Jesus' leadership is one of servant leadership, right? That he washes his disciples' feet. He does these things and he leads by serving us. Now, so what things does youth ministry, because I think we have servant events.
Correct.
So maybe explain what those are, what that looks like.
Absolutely. So we do talk about service a lot within the context of youth ministry, and that's getting, again, young people involved in a lot of things that the church does, and maybe outside the church too, that they see needs in their community or in their schools where they want to serve in the name of Jesus. And so one thing, we encourage that through Youth Lead for one, and then we just do general resourcing around how congregations can impact young people and get them engaged in the church and serve. But then we also run a program that's called LCMS servant events. These have been going on, early 80s is when they started, primarily on Lutheran camps, maybe recognized service organizations, congregations, or districts that host those. Primarily, those are week-long experiences that take place usually in the summer, like maybe late May till mid-August for those that maybe have a later school start. Again, across the country, a lot of times on our camps or other places where young people come in for a week of there's certainly time in God's word, devotion, worship, things that take place, whatever the host might do in the capacity they have in space, and then serving around a community. And so sometimes that might be beautification of a camp and getting them ready for their year of service that they're going to do throughout the year. But oftentimes too, it's right into maybe the community. I got to go to one last year and it was awesome to see young people serving with Habitat for Humanity, or they're working at maybe some shelters for those that maybe were homeless, also maybe food distribution centers too. And so it's just a way for them to share their faith, engage, see how the church can serve. And then I love too to hear stories about young people who say, you know, I never thought about this career vocation and I got to do this on a servant event. And man, that really got me excited about this. Or sometimes too, it's church workers who said, I'd never known a DCE or really had been able to develop a relationship with my pastor yet. And going on this week long time, I got to hear what they do. And I'm so excited maybe to think about a career in church work. And so great things that happen through that, God works through those events as well.
Yeah, it's really fun to see and hear those kinds of stories, right? That's something that maybe when when they're in high school, they're just checking off a box,
right?
They're looking at a scholarship application and they're saying, what kind of service can I put here? I need to put something. I need to find something. But then it kind of morphs into, there is an entirely different way to serve the church here, but then it makes them think, what about these other ways that they can serve the church?
And I was blown away too. And just that week that I sat down, like at the end of it, and was at a table with a group of young people. And I thought they must have been from the same church, the way they knew each other and were joking with each other and just, you know, obviously cared for each other. And to find out they're like from three different churches from across the country that got to know each other by either maybe being in the cabin together or serving together. And so like these relationships happen too. And they get to know like, hey, I've got Lutheran friends all across the country that I can rely on, connect with, and stay connected to, which is great to see as well.
Yeah. So if an individual or a youth is interested in participating, where would they go?
Yeah, absolutely. So there we got both on our youth ministry website, and then that can take you to the actual event site. So LCMS Servant Events LCMS.org/youth. Will get you to those events. And so then that's, again, where we do those primarily congregational-based. The Youth League can be more of an individual young person doing that, but the servant events, usually you go with your church.
Okay.
So they would sign up for that. We don't do registration, but our site connects you to the host that then you do your registration through.
Right. How does a group become a host? You mentioned camps.
Yes.
I know there are congregations
that
serve as hosts.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have that on the website as well, that if you want to be a host, if you look around your community and see needs that they have, where like, again, you know, anywhere from our probably smallest ones are maybe 10 people a week to as large as over 100, if you've got the capacity for housing and things like that, for servants to come and do work for a week, to be able to build those relationships, to put them to work for, you know, a good probably 8-hour day of service around your community. We have great resources. We just actually are updating all the resources that we've had for years about how to host an event and all those things you got to think through, as well as just like, what are the roles maybe you need from your church that you want to have, you know, whether it's your pastor or another church worker involved to do the spiritual care, that type of thing, but then also the logistics of it too. And so we try to make that as easy as possible, because we love to hear too from the hosts that say, man, that's a great week in the life of our church that we look forward to it. We donate things, the community gets involved, we host meals, and the church loves to host too, to get to know young people from across the country. And then also to be able to say like, yeah, we're the church that cares enough for our community that we're bringing people from the outside to show Christ's love through this servant event too, which is great.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Now I'm going to transition a little bit here, because you guys lead other things as well, other events.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those events that you guys actually have a hand in?
Sure. So probably the biggest one that we do is the LCMS Youth Gathering, and that happens once every 3 years. So next we're going to be in New Orleans in 2025. So boy, registration is going to be opened up already here this fall.
By the way, I'm going to interject and interrupt you. I like how you say probably the biggest.
Okay, it's the biggest.
This is the largest gathering of LCMS Lutherans anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens every 3 years, as you said, and New Orleans is the next one. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, we're excited. We're going to be under the theme Endure, looking at Hebrews 12, 1-3 specifically, but then studying a lot of Hebrews and biblical themes around how God strengthens us to endure in faith in Him through Christ, and certainly how Christ endured the cross for us. And through that, we receive, again, His gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation through His work for us. And so that's going to be our key for, as we think about our Bible studies, our events that we come together in the Superdome, the sessions that we do, and other resources that we do around that. And again, along with that, I should say too, we do great volunteer work that we're so blessed. It really is a unique part of our event that we'll have over 1,000 volunteers that come to the event that just provide another layer of safety, certainly, but then also just hospitality and showing Christ's love to our young people and adult leaders who come as well. And so one of the specific groups I should lift up too is that we have young adult volunteers age 19 to 25. That application will be opening up, July of 2024, already. And so that's a great way for young adults to get engaged in the process and, again, to build that community and get to know other young adults across the Synod, which is great.
Yeah, so you mentioned some of the things that youth can experience there: Bible studies, servant events, mass events. There's going to be worship there.
Absolutely.
Breakout sessions. Mm-hmm. All these fantastic things that youth can do. Where does this fit into the life of a congregation? Like for a youth group, I mean, is this kind of a one-off, just kind of separate, or how does that fit in?
Right. It's a good question. And one thing that certainly we try to say is we don't want the youth gathering to be your model of youth ministry. We hope that it does not become this thing that takes so much energy that you're on unable to like build relationships or do a thing. And so we always try to make that process very much one in which young people are again invited into the life of the church and re-engaged, continue to engage for kind of that post maybe confirmation time. And like, what's kind of that thing that again, through weekly word and sacrament ministry that's happening, what's maybe this thing where again, we can talk about vocation and we can talk about the life of the broader church. And then also through that process, the individual congregation gets to build those relationships with pastors and DCEs and church workers and so many lay people who invest their time to take their vacation and go to a place like New Orleans and invest it in the lives of their young people. And so those relationships that get built too at the home congregation is so vitally important. And we hope again that as young people come to the gathering, they are hearing the same thing they're hearing in their local congregation. They get to see, again, the many congregations that make up the Synod. And then also we can invite international participants too, so they get to see the vastness of God's church in the Lutheran context. And so it's a really great experience for that too, just to understand that aspect of it. And when they're able to come to these events and see, here are young people who are confessing the same thing I am and have this maybe many of the same struggles I have too, and yet we're in this together as God's people. And we got adults who care for us too and are praying for us and have been through it as well. And so it's, again, a great time for them to grow in their faith, learn about it. And I always love, too, the aspect that we get to lift up, you know, seminary professors and CUS professors and other pastors and church leaders to share their wisdom, too, which is a great way that young people get to engage with the church, too, in that context.
Yeah, I like that. It really is an international youth gathering.
Yeah, that's right. We've dropped the name. We used to really call it the National Youth Gathering. We've tried to drop national because a lot of our international participants are like, wait a minute, what about us? And so, so we've gone more straight, which is the LCMS Youth Gathering, because we are so blessed with the international participants.
Yeah, so the gathering is every 3 years.
Correct.
The year before the gathering, though, you do something else, right? Kind of in preparation?
We do, So that's called the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference. And you're right. We host that then like once every 3 year cycle, if you will, as well. So it's the summer before the youth gathering. And a couple of years ago, we tweaked that a little bit to where we really wanted to use it as again, talking about the youth gathering certainly does take a lot of investment, but we really want to make the most of not only the 5 days of the gathering, but all the prep work that comes into it, and as well as the time after the youth gathering too. And we want to prepare our adult leaders for that as much as possible. So if you come to National as an adult leader and pay to come to that, then you get a free registration for the youth gathering. And that's, we're hoping again, that that investment will be a good time for you to make the most of the youth gathering itself. But it's also a standalone youth ministry conference as well. So for example, this summer, we're going to be focusing on the 7 practices of healthy youth ministry in the plenaries, and then workshop sessions will be on a variety of topics around youth ministry pieces and engaging with young people in their lives. And so then that's, again, in New Orleans, we do it in the gathering city. So we kind of get the lay of the land of the city a little bit too. And then that's July 21st to the 24th of in 2024. And right now we're in May now, we're in a wait list right now on that. But still, if people are interested in coming, certainly they can engage with our office. But we're excited about the people who are coming and will be participating in that.
And that's not just for like new workers.
No.
But for experienced and everybody in between.
Absolutely. Experienced and looking at our registration list. I mean, we have pastors and DCEs and directors of family youth ministry and deaconesses and rostered teachers. And then also a good number of lay people who are coming to that probably are adult leaders the next summer. But they're coming in to get the lay of the land and get updates on the gathering too. And I should mention too, I said this earlier, is that then we also do a youth component. So it's like a youth lead training. So we've got at least 60 young people that are coming to that as well. And so they'll kind of both be a part of the plenaries, but then do their own thing too, which they're going to go through a special curriculum that's a youth lead portion of that study.
So you've mentioned that registration looks like it's full right mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. There's a waiting list. Maybe some of those will get in. But for those that aren't able to attend, what is there access to other resources, to some of these materials that people have that just throughout the regular year?
Absolutely. And so we have a information and resource website called youthesource.com. And hard to believe we're about 20 years of that as well. Doing that. It was back in the early days of kind of some web development, the LCMS, that we were doing separate sites. And so we still have a separate site, but you can link to certainly through the LCMS site to us. Juliana Schultz on our staff, she is working right now into redeveloping that site to kind of give it a new, fresh look. She's amazingly looking through about, you know, again, 20 years of resources. And you know, when we find these ones that are talking about MySpace being this revolutionary social media platform, you know, so some of those we might call out a little bit, but nonetheless, bringing over those great resources too that we've been putting together for years. And so there's just general everything from Bible studies to theological talk sheets to maybe resources specifically for the youth worker and just their encouragement. But then more recently too, then we've been adding resources around a platform that we call the Seven Practices of Healthy Youth Ministry. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why we're framing the website a little bit differently, is to highlight those differently. And then our ongoing resources around those practices.
Right. So the seven healthy practices, mm-hmm. I don't think we need to go through like each of the seven, but just in general, what are they? How did you guys come upon seven? And where did they come from?
Yeah, right. So I would say ultimately probably two things. The question that we would get asked a lot, like, what does healthy youth ministry look like in my church? And there were a lot of good resources out there. Some practical things, obviously, on a lot of resources that are out there, we're going to have our theological concerns about them. So we definitely wanted to have an LCMS response to that question. But even in some of the practical stuff, the reality is a lot of our youth ministry is around that question of how do we engage maybe post-confirmation? So we got this blessing of confirmation for the life of a young person. And so it's kind of what's that next step. As young people are becoming more independent, how do we increase their dependency on Christ and all of that and continue to feed them that way, that question. And then so many times we would read resources and it would be under this context of, oh, we've got a full-time person who's just doing high school ministry and then a full-time person who's doing middle school. That's maybe 1% of LCMS churches, maybe, that by and large, so much of the youth ministry is happening is with faithful parents, faithful pastors, faithful church workers, maybe one that is wearing multiple hats. And then it's amazing lay people who give of their time and love young people because probably they had an experience in their life growing up where an adult took the time to invest in them. And so we're doing a lot of work to try to encourage them and like what can be a practical way to say, we as a church body get to look at data and stuff and see the fruit of God working through congregations and to be able to encourage them in that. And then also to learn and say like, hey, what were maybe some things you did I think it was really around intentionally develop relationships with young people, maybe break down some barriers in places, maybe showing up at some places. And then did we feed them God's word through those years of transitioning from middle school into high school into college life? And so the big thing that probably helped us narrow it to the seven was we did substantial research around retention of actually millennials at that time. So we did this around 2017, 2018, and kind of ongoing a little bit. And it was kind of through that really fine-tuning our theology and biblical study around youth ministry that said like, wow, we've seen seven trends in the research that both congregations did and that also young millennials, young adults at that time who had retained in the church were able to look back and say, yeah, these were things my church did to keep me engaged, to remind me of my baptismal identity and keep me in healthy relationships where I said, I am going to continue to stay in Christ and God is working through my life and I want to be in the life of the church. And so those were how we kind of brought it down to the seven was that final piece.
Yeah. Fantastic. Now, not that you guys aren't doing enough already, but I've also heard rumors, right, that there are workshops that you guys are doing on seven healthy practices.
We do.
Is that correct?
That's correct. So we have always been open to, we've spoken at a number of district, maybe either a pastor's conference or a church worker conference, and we're always open to that. I know we've got one coming up, some coming up into the summer and fall, so we're always open to that. If there's a circuit meeting, always open to that, or even individual congregations sometimes will have us out to come and discuss those things. If they're maybe starting to engage and maybe rethink youth ministry and want kind of some input, is that we are happy to do that. We've done it over Zoom. You don't have to fly us out or anything like that. We'll gladly meet with your board or whatever it might be over Zoom, do that. And then also we have quite a bit of written resources now too. Some just kind of overview type stuff, but then some that get deeper into like, how do we talk about this biblically and theologically? What are maybe, then again, we talk about our data certainly too, and use other people's data too, to say like, this is where, you know, we kind of focused on this practice because of feedback that we received or saw the fruit that happened maybe from a practice from our congregation. So we are definitely open to doing those kind of workshops. Happy to record those or make those available for any context that people would want.
Yeah, I, for one, am incredibly grateful and thankful for the work that you do, the work that your team does in youth ministry in the LCMS, the example that you give and show to so many leaders and so many other servants who are out there serving their churches mm-hmm. in a variety of ways, particularly among our youth. So we have some additional episodes that are coming down the pike here for youth ministry. What are some of those topics that are being covered and who are we going to get to listen to and meet in these different topics?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So I mentioned Juliana Schultz before. So we do a podcast called End Goals. And so we had it's been great to be able to meet practitioners that we didn't necessarily know before, or some we had a relationship with, and to hear again how God's working through their ministry and through their congregation. And so, one, we're going to bring some of our favorite ones that came out of talk about some of these practices and other things that we do, and then also give some update from our staff. So you're going to hear from myself, from Juliana, from Meredith Smith on our staff, and then also Emily Myers. And so our upcoming episodes are going to be, we're going to talk a little bit about the youth gathering a little bit more and the preparation for that. We're going to have one about youth lead and get to meet kind of our executive team and some other people that have been a part of that process. I'm going to hear more about LCMS CERN events from some of our hosts and the work that takes place there. And then we're also going to talk about one of the things we, you know, certainly focus a lot on in talking about youth ministry is building that foundation to prepare young people for that post-high school transition, whatever that is, military, college, career. But we're going to specifically have one where we talk to someone who sits on both sides of the fence of high school ministry and then campus ministry. And so talking about that transition. And then also a little bit of an introduction to those seven practices as well. So looking forward to having some more episodes roll out about youth ministry.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to listening to those. This has been another episode of God's Mission Here. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.